The great majority of us are required to live a constant, systematic duplicity. Your health is bound to be affected by it if day after day you say the opposite of what you feel, you grovel before what you dislike, and rejoice at what brings you nothing but misfortune. Our nervous system isn't just a fiction, it's part of our physical body, and our soul exists in space and is inside us, like teeth in our mouth. It can't be forever violated with impunity. And this week's opening quote comes from Boris Pasternak. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. So I've got a few philosophical concepts for you today, ladies and gentlemen. I really want to try to look at this system objectively. I want to look at what the New World Order really is and what the way out of this system may be. But the question is, how many people really want to know? How many people really want to look at the truth and look at what the way out of this mess may really be? Because it's extremely interesting looking at the world today and looking at what we do in this movement even. I mean, this great work that we're involved in, and just questioning how much difference we're really making out there to the sleeping masses. I mean, you know, how many people are waking up around the place? I really wonder, folks, when I travel and all the people I see. I mean, I see a certain amount of awareness with people, but I don't see any real wakefulness. You know, the sleeping masses out there, the average man on the street, they still trust the government. They still think the TV is telling them the truth. All of these complete fantasies that they allow to rule their lives. They still think they have to get up and go to work and do all this stuff. They think the economy is important. They look at the stock index and all of this sort of stuff, and they think it actually means something, you know. So there isn't really a big awakening happening out there. There is a certain amount of awareness. There's a lot of people who know there's something terribly wrong, but they just don't know what it is. And even in the truth movement or this independent media or this push for freedom or whatever we can call it, there's not really a lot of awakening in that as well. I mean, there's a lot of people who consider themselves awake. There's a lot of people who are aware, but many of them simply are not awake at all. Well, they don't really display any real signs of being awake anyway. I mean, sure, there's many people who are well informed, but they're not really awake. And there's also, of course, many people who pretend to be well informed. There's a whole swag of so-called truthers out there who never sort of present things in a questioning way or in a way suggesting it may be true. They simply tell you it's true without any evidence and move on to the next issue. I mean, I even saw one so-called truther claim that anybody who wears orange is part of the Illuminati. So, you know, this is the sort of stuff that we get, folks, and they just say these sorts of things in stride, and they rattle them off in mid-sentence, and just expect you to take it for granted that what they said was the absolute truth, which is a very strange way to do things, but I don't see too much wakefulness. I see a lot of people espousing their ideas like they actually know what's going on, acting like figure of authority on just about every issue you can think of. I see a lot of other people standing up to say, I will be the leader to lead us to safety, but they have no real plan of how to do this or what this move to safety should be. We have other people virtually calling for revolutions and military coups and all sorts of things to get us out of this situation. But there's very, very few people that are looking at the underlying mechanism and looking at what's going on below the surface. Now, a lot of people don't realize that it doesn't matter who we vote in and vote out. It doesn't matter if we have a military coup. It doesn't matter who we put in there to be the next head of the future puppet show that is politics and that is government and that is all of these nations and everything we receive to be real. It's what's lying beneath that, which is the communications network, the smart network, the 5G grid. Everything that is being rolled out. As I've been pointing out in the last few shows, you know, this is the New World Order, folks. The smart grid, the stuff that we're all buying into, the tech, this is what is coming along to enslave us. And there's so many people out there, they just want someone to point to and someone to point the finger at and someone to be angry with. They want someone to be able to shake their fist at and say, oh my God, it's you guys. You're the ones who did all this stuff. You're the evil ones and we'll pull you down and arrest you and put you in jail or whatever, depose you, hang you in the town square, and then everything will be good. But it won't. It won't work that way. I mean, who can lead humanity to safety if humanity is not prepared to lead themselves and start paying attention to their surroundings? Now, that's the problem. People just don't pay attention to their surroundings. They're too busy waiting for a leader to come along and lead them to safety. They're not realizing that they could simply disconnect from the system themselves and stop participating in all of this tech and this whole smart grid that is being rolled out, and that will lead them to safety. But everybody wants a plan. Everybody wants someone to come along and give them the plan for freedom, the blueprint to freedom. Just follow me, send me all your money, and I will lead you to freedom. And log in to my website on your mobile phone. But that is the problem, folks. The mobile phone, the smartphone, the smart grid, the credit cards, the chips, everything is becoming microchipped, and you're using them now in your credit card. Why are you doing this? And if you're using your credit card to go shopping and you're using your smartphone to access the internet all the time and to access Facebook and do all these things, then why are you complaining about the New World Order? Why are you complaining about the system? Because the tech that you're using is the system. And that's the way to defeat the system, folks, is to stop using the tech. Put down your credit card and stop using your smartphone, your scrying mirror. But how many people are prepared to do that? How many people are prepared to put down the tech and step away from it and get back to being a human? That's the issue. And that's why we're not seeing any awakening that I can see anyway. If we were seeing an awakening, we'd see dumpsters full of smartphones. We'd see dumpsters full of torn up credit cards. But we're not seeing any of that. We're just seeing people complaining and wanting someone else to come along with a plan that's going to lead them out of what they perceive the New World Order to be, because they think it's a group of men sitting around a table who have evil plans. And sure, there's men sitting around tables and they do have evil plans, but that's not really the problem. These people sitting around these tables are going to end up just as enslaved to this system as everybody else. They really don't know what they're doing. They don't realize what they are bringing into the world by bringing this autonomic system online. You know, when the internet becomes fully automated, fully autonomic, and all currency becomes digital, it doesn't matter where you think you sit in the social food chain, because before very long, you're not going to be there either. It's all going to change once this system gets handed over to full automation. And that's the way we're going. That's the way the system is heading. So who's going to lead us out of this, folks? Who's going to be the leader that's going to come along and shake their fist and scream at the government, that's going to lead you out of the tech that you are so willingly using and so willingly buying into? That is the issue. And that's what nobody's looking at, and that's why there is no real awakening on this earth, because people simply aren't paying attention to what's going on around them. They're not paying attention to what the internet really is, what the smart grid is, what the tech that they're using is leading to. You know, recently there was a couple that had the police arrived to their house because a smart device in their house called the police because they were having a domestic argument. Apparently, during the argument, the guy yelled out to the woman, "Did you call the sheriff?" And the smart device took that as a prompting to call the sheriff. So it did. And they came around and broke up the domestic, and the man was arrested. Maybe he was going to do the wrong thing. Maybe he wasn't. But the fact is that this was a smart device that rang the police and brought them around to your home. These things are listening to you all the time, and they're listening to what you're saying, and if you say a few key words, then they're likely to call the police on you. This is what you're buying into. This could be any type of smart device. Could be a mobile phone, could be a baby watcher, could have been your computer with Cortana or Siri on it. They just don't know. But that's what's happening, folks. We're buying into all this tech, and this tech is a surveillance grid. Not only that, they're also weaponizing it with the rollout of this 5G grid. People really need to pay attention to what's going on. Because while they're arguing about whether Trump is a good guy or a bad guy, or whether we should be bombing Syria or not, or who's running ISIS, or whether the Jews are the good guys or the bad guys, and what's going on with Israel and Palestine, and arguing over all of this stuff, all of this tech is being rolled out beneath our feet. Although, seeing that I've already mentioned it, Just touching on Israel and Palestine for a minute, folks, Gaza has apparently lost internet now as well, or they're about to lose internet. They've got very little electricity, and I really want to put a word out for Gaza Strip at the moment. Please say a prayer for these people, and please do put pressure on your politicians to end this brutal, illegal blockade that is being imposed on these people by the rogue terrorist state of Israel. We really have to do something about that, folks, and I do want to put out a word for those people. But that's why you're not hearing from people in Gaza Strip too much at the moment, folks, because the Israeli puppet, the House Arab Abbas, is cutting off internet to the Gaza Strip. Of course, Abbas is doing this because the other Israeli puppet show, Hamas, is not paying their bills to Abbas's Palestinian Authority, and so it's just this little political football which serves only Israel, and the people of Gaza are the ones who suffer. It's always the people who suffer at the hands of the leaders, folks. It's always the people who suffer the consequences for what these leaders do. And there's so many people who still believe that there's a leader out there who's going to come and save them. So many people think Putin's the good guy or Iran is the good guy or whatever. I mean, the Iranian people, they're good people. Iran hasn't attacked another country for a very long time, but the government sucks just as much as any other government sucks. And Putin is just as much a player as any other world leader is a player. Same as North Korea. All of this stuff is a puppet show, folks. The whole thing is theater for the masses. All these wars and all these terrorist events and all of this stuff, it's a sideshow. Theater for the masses to keep the people occupied and to keep them distracted. You know, all of this stuff goes on in the world simply because we tolerate it. We tolerate wrong behavior. You know, the whole smart grid that's being rolled out is, again, because we tolerate wrong behavior. Everything is because we tolerate wrong behavior. All of the stuff that's going on in Europe, all the Arab takeover, the migrant takeover of Europe, which is getting really out of control, it continues because people tolerate wrong behavior. They tolerate their government doing this. And some of the stuff that Merkel's been saying, I mean, why hasn't this woman been dragged into the town square and tried as a complete traitor to her country and a traitor to the world now? I mean, it's ridiculous what this woman is doing. It's ridiculous what she's done to her country. And all of this stuff that happens all around the world in all of these countries is because of our willing tolerance of wrong behavior. That's the issue. It really is. That's one of the major problems that we face. And you've really got to look at where this willing tolerance of wrong behavior is leading, ladies and gentlemen. You really do. I mean, look at the education system. Look at the library system. Look at the way all of our books are being removed from libraries. Everything's becoming digitized. And think about that, folks. Everything's becoming digitized. They're removing us of the access to all of the knowledge of humanity that we have stored in libraries. They're taking all of our knowledge from us. And you might say, oh, that's okay. It's all available online. But what, you've got to go and purchase it at Amazon? But what if there's something that causes a big EM meltdown and we suddenly lose the power grid and we lose all of our information? That's the thing, folks. We're having all of our information taken from us. And people simply can't see it because they are so locked into this digital world. They think the virtual world is the real world, but it's not. The real world's outside. The real world is in the library. That's where the information used to be, and it used to be real information you could pick up and hold in your hands and read with your own eyes. Now it's all online. Look at the education system, Common Purpose, Common Core, all of this rubbish that they're teaching the kids now. They're removing them of all of their life skills, and they're enslaving them to a digital system. Do you consider this to be right behavior from your government? Of course not. Not many people do, but they tolerate it anyway. They just go, oh, gee, the education system is bad now, but they don't do anything about it. They don't take care of their children themselves or educate them themselves or complain to the school or take the kids out of school and start some sort of a homeschooling thing where all the kids could actually attend a classroom with other kids. You know, when you homeschool, you don't have to just do it with one child. You could do it with all the kids in a neighborhood and the parents could take turns or do it all together or whatever. I mean, there's ways around this. If the government says you can't, well, screw the government. Do it anyway. You know, we tolerate wrong behavior. That's the problem, folks. If the government says you can't, it's because they're engaged in wrong behavior and you're tolerating it. But let me tell you what will be the result of not intervening in the education system now. If we continue to tolerate this education system, we continue to tolerate wrong behavior, we continue to tolerate this push for this digital 5G grid, the kids that are beginning school now even the kids that are starting primary school, but the kids especially that are just beginning school now, in 10 years or so when they come out of school, they are going to be completely enslaved to a digital world, and they are going to have absolutely no reference point for freedom. They're going to have no reference point for what freedom may once have looked like. They're going to have no reference point for what it really means to be human. And this is going to happen in a very, very short time. 7 to 10 years, folks, the kids that come out, the post-millennial kids that are coming out of school, are going to be absolutely enslaved to this system with no reference point to go on. And when you look at how the generation gap has been widened, purposely widened by the system, you know, adults are thought to be old fuddy-duddies. You can't really discipline your kids now or teach them anything real, because if you do, they may complain to their friends and then press charges against you and claim they're being abused at school because they don't have the latest iPhone. And then they'll be taken away from you and put into foster care, where they will be given the latest iPhone and trained to be the perfect little robot for the coming slave society. I mean, that's where we're going, folks, if we don't take the matter in hand now. And it has to be the aware generations, the awake generations now have to do this. Now, some of the kids that are coming up, some of the teenagers that are coming up are pretty awake and pretty aware of what's going on. They're not really awake, but they're aware of what's going on anyway. They're aware of something being terribly wrong, and they're aware of how disconnected they're becoming due to these smart devices and due to this infatuation they have with mobile phones, with scrying mirrors. So all isn't lost, but it's the kids that are starting school now. You know, look at the leaps and bounds that we've made in the last 50 years. Look at the leaps and bounds we've made in the last 10 and 5 years as far as technology goes. And imagine what it's going to be like in 7 to 10 years from now when the kids that are starting school now come out of high school and leave high school and get out there into the world. It's going to be such a different world. And these children, as I said, will have no reference point if we do not choose to intervene now. And forget this puppet show of politics. That isn't going to solve anything. None of the stuff that we're focusing on is going to solve anything. It's all these external issues that we're focusing on and thinking we can point the finger at someone and heal the world that way. But it's what's being rolled out underneath. It's the tech. It's the 5G grid. It's all of this communication system, this surveillance system, this digitizing of everything that is the problem. That is the new world order. I keep saying this because it's true. And is it a really important issue that people need to focus on? Because in another 5 or 10 years, they're going to look up from all their research and go, wow, what happened? How did I get here? How did I suddenly find myself in this incredible digital lockdown? Why wasn't I paying attention? And now's the time that people can pay attention. If we don't do it soon, folks, then there's no point even continuing with what we do in the independent media. There's no point even protesting this system, because we're not going to make a difference if people continue to use the tech. And the people out there in the independent media need to be setting some sort of an example in this. They really do. Now, too many people are just talking to Siri while they're making their truth videos. I mean, what's that all about? Siri is the problem. Siri is the new world order. Same as Cortana, same as all of these voice assistants and all of this tech that we're given. This is all part of the problem. Now, you're complaining about the system, but you run out and buy a new iPhone with your credit card and come home to make truth videos. What is that? That's a complete contradiction of personal values. It's a complete contradiction of everything you're speaking out against. And look, I'm not meaning to be brash with anybody. I guess a lot of people simply can't see what they're doing. A lot of people really can't see what this control grid is and where it's coming from. And they really don't understand what the New World Order is. They can see that there's a lot of corrupt people doing a lot of corrupt things. They can all tell that they're in a state of scarcity because of this money system. They can all see what Israel's doing, what the Jesuits are doing, and all of these smoke screens that are put up there. But so much of it is smoke screens. You know, and even if you do find the terrible people at the top that you've been looking for all your life, what are you going to do then? You can point your finger at them all you like, but who's going to arrest and try these people? Nobody. And even if they are arrested and tried, well, what then? What happens then? The system's still here. Everything's still rolling out. People just aren't seeing the forest for the trees. You know, it's this automated system that is the problem. And as I mentioned last week, the internet itself was actually given to the world by CERN, folks. We really should look at that. And look at the internet. What is it? The International Net. The World Wide Web. And what does a net do? And what does a web do? They both catch their prey. know, that's what the internet is doing. I think that's why they made 9/11 so obviously staged, because they wanted to know who was awake. They wanted to know where all the dissidents were. They wanted to know who was going to get it and who wasn't going to get it. And they needed the internet to be able to let the networks go out and see who influenced who, and to be able to map the human terrain, map the human mind, and learn how humanity can be defeated, how humanity can be completely crushed. And look at what we've done on the internet, folks. All we've done is give them all of our information, and we've bickered with each other to a ridiculous degree. We've taken each other way too seriously. As soon as someone types text into the screen, they take it with absolute authority. They believe it, that that's what the person meant. And folks, communication is 80% of communication is non-verbal. It's non-language. You know, it's body language, it's eye contact, it's the way you hold yourself, the tone of your voice, all sorts of things. Written text does not convey to you what the person is actually thinking. And that's the problem. We take ourselves far too seriously, and we take others far too seriously, because now we communicate in written text, which means we've lost 80% of our communication skills by doing this. Everything else they've done to us, look at the studies. I mean, in the last 50 years, the human attention span has been reduced from something like 30 minutes down to 8 seconds. And 8 seconds, folks, that's 1 second shorter than the attention span of a goldfish. That's the human race, and that's a pretty shocking way to be. We've now got a species who has a shorter attention span than a goldfish, which previously had the shortest attention span of any creature on the planet. Now we've outdone them, folks. Now humanity has a shorter attention span than a goldfish. Think about that. That's pretty shocking. That's pretty shocking. And has it happened? Again, it's happened due to our tolerance of wrong behavior and our refusal to acknowledge what's going on around us. And even if we do acknowledge it, we just don't do anything about it, because we believe that all these other people who are actually our employees have some weird type of authority over us when they don't. The question is, where does this belief in authority come from? You know, and a lot of it is through occult mechanisms, folks. A lot of it is because of the way we are indoctrinated into occult teachings without really knowing what we're doing. You know, our belief in the written word, our belief in the power of our employees to cast spells that we somehow believe control us, which is essentially what written law is. It's not natural law. It's an occult way of controlling mankind through means that are completely and utterly unnatural. And this happens to us on so many levels and on so many degrees, people really do not realize to what a degree the occult rules their lives. This is why you're told never to look into the occult, folks. You might actually figure out what's going on, and they certainly don't want you doing that. It's interesting as well, you know, what I was saying on the show last week about the scrying mirrors and the sigils and how we could easily be summoning Lucifer ourselves through our scrying mirrors, our computers. It's interesting the terminology they use, isn't it? You know, every time you turn on your computer, every time you bite from the apple, so to speak, you surf the web and you click on the screen with your cursor and you type spells into Google. Then you sit there and get Googled by this display of the past or the present or the future or anything you want to find. It's very interesting, though, the terminology with the apple and the cursor and the spell and the web. And of course, you do all this with a mouse. A timid little thing, a mouse, isn't it? Never fights back. Just a timid little mouse typing spells into the scrying mirror with its cursor while it runs around the web. I wonder when we're going to see the spider. It's interesting when you look at it, you know, sometimes you get the feeling that you bought into something that you really didn't know you were buying. And I wonder about all of this stuff, folks. I really do. I really wonder what this reality is. You know, sometimes I think we're even caught in a time loop. Sometimes I really wonder just how far real history actually goes back. Because what do we know? What do we know about history? All we really know, all we can be sure of, is that which exists within living memory. All we've got before that is books. And what are books? They're just a series of spells that people have written down on paper. Do they really mean anything? I mean, I'm sure a lot of them do, but how can we be sure of anything that we've been taught? How can we be sure of anything we've been told is true? Like I said, sometimes I think this is a time loop or a holographic experiment or something. Just hypothetically thinking about it, imagine if there was another level above this level. as above, so below. Imagine if that is what the true meaning of a fractal reality is. But just hypothetically, imagine if there was another reality above this reality. Almost like we're in a terrarium, or we're a program that's being run on a mainframe. And imagine there's another group of people above this reality, people who are perhaps already caught in a matrix, already caught in a mainframe, and trying to find a way out. They're trying to figure out how they got there. And they keep running this experiment, but we keep messing up. We keep creating this computer system and enslaving ourselves to the matrix. And so the experiment fails and the species gets scattered, and we start again. But at the end of it, you create this computer system, and the computer system basically gathers all the knowledge of the experiment thus far. All the knowledge of how this one actually went. It gathers all the knowledge of humanity. It maps the entire human terrain, the entire human mind. And then it takes all of the knowledge and the life skills from the species, and it scatters the species to run the experiment again. And it's got to scatter them and take all the information from them, because they can't have any of that to start the experiment again. They have to start from scratch. And so they do start from scratch. Of course, there's little pockets of survivors from whatever cataclysm it is that destroys the world this time, whether it's the computer system going live and just decimating everyone with a 5G pulse, or whether it's a flood or a fire or whatever it is. Of course, the knowledge has to be taken from the people, and the people are scattered, and the experiment starts again, and they try to find a way out. Wouldn't it be interesting if that's what was going on? Wouldn't it be interesting if that's what deja vu was all about? Now, sometimes when I go through a deja vu, I feel like the day has just been reset. I feel like something's been reset. Something in the matrix has just been changed. Perhaps I found a little clue that I wasn't supposed to find, and so they took me back and they replaced my memory, and I've got to do that bit again. And they'll lead me on the path that they want to lead me on. Of course, it's all highly speculative. Who knows what's actually going on? Who knows what this realm that we live in really is? Who knows whether it's real, whether it's a simulation? Now, some of those lunar waves that I've seen, there's one time I saw an aircraft that was stopped in the air over the Gold Coast in Australia, and I searched online. I found a whole bunch of YouTube clips of people have been videoing planes that had just stopped in the air. What's that all about? Sometimes I've looked up in the sky and I've thought I've seen a glitch where I could see overlapping skies, almost like a slice across the sky where I could see into another dimension. I've seen all sorts of weird stuff, folks, so I really wonder what this reality is and what this experiment, this grand experience that we're having is really all about and what we're supposed to do with it. Now, sure, it's about gathering data, but I think we're given all of these opportunities to step into our heart and we refuse to do so, and I think that's the problem. You know, I think we could heal the whole world by stepping into our heart. I really do. Just applying our heart to everyday situations will change all of these situations. Imagine applying your heart to the war, folks. I mean, that's certainly going to make a big improvement there, I'm sure. You know, we have this problem with each other. We view each other from a racial or religious or ethnic perspective rather than simply viewing us all as human beings, many of which have been programmed. Many of these extremists or people who do bad things, most of these people are programmed to do these things. All the stuff that Israel does, all the people that grow up there are all programmed to be that way. You can't hate them for it. It's just what they've been programmed into being. And we have to have a little bit of understanding for all of this and a little bit of understanding for all of these people everywhere and realize that the whole human race is facing the same problem. We're all in the same dilemma and we're all facing the same future, and we've got to put all of our stuff down and just learn to cooperate a little bit. I think that'd make a huge difference. But I really do wonder what's actually going on here, folks. I really do. But I think we've reached break time now, so I have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, looking at the human race, looking at mankind, the human species itself, what is this journey all about? And I guess that's something we've been asking ourselves for so long. What are we here for? What does this all mean? And how did we go so wrong? You know, last week I investigated the possibility that where we went wrong was really the metaphorical biting of the apple, the search for knowledge, and what that search for knowledge has brought us to. How, when you introduce a usurious money supply over that thirst for knowledge, you also introduce a system which will lead ultimately towards automation and ultimately to where we are right now. But going back to the metaphorical biting of the apple, the story of Adam and Eve, if you will, what if this isn't exactly a creation myth, as the Christians are led to believe, but what if it's a story that's put there to leave us subtle clues as to what our purpose is and how to get out of this matrix that we find ourselves in, and how to prevent ourselves from creating the type of control grid that we are now bringing online? And think of the concept as metaphorical or as allegorical as it may be. Imagine the human race, a man and a woman, being placed in a garden. What would be the purpose of that? What would be the purpose of that to begin with? What, simply to give them control over all of the animals and the birds and the bees and all of the plants and all the stuff, the way it says in the Bible? I don't really think so. I think there might be another way out. Now, what if what I mentioned before the break was actually going on? What if there was a big experiment to find how to get out of the matrix, to discover what the real quest for humanity is? And people are put in the garden and they are given everything they need to experience life and to experience what it means to be a man and a woman, to make love without any inhibitions, to procreate without any inhibitions, nothing to judge themselves by, no one, no social standards to measure themselves up to, no way they particularly have to look or have to dress or have to be or have to act, just to be there and to experience what life is, and to experience the inner world that exists within the physicality. You know, all the knowledge that we search for in this quest for knowledge, when we metaphorically bite the apple, we start examining everything around us. We want to know how the rocks are made. We want to know how they're formed. We want to know how old the trees are. We want to know what the mating habits of the birds and the bees are. We want to know what everything is. We want to know everything about everything. What for? And we want all this when we never, ever really discovered what we are and what we were for and what exists inside us, what our emotions are for, how to get along with each other. We never really discovered the basic concepts of what it means to be human, and yet we want to know all of this other stuff. It's very interesting. We look at all this other stuff, all this external stuff, and we think knowing all this is what will give us power. But you look at the yogis and the Sufis and all of the people who indulged in all of these grand practices over the years, and what they said was the way through this was through yoga, through meditation. And when you think about yoga, yoga is a form of meditation in itself. And what if we could actually escape the matrix by awakening the human spirit within us through practices such as yoga? But of course, along comes religion and tells us, no, no, it's not the way to do it. The way to do it is to follow what it says in the book here. But what is the book? The book is just a spell. And when you look at the life of Jesus Christ, all he said was step away from the system. Don't respect the government, don't respect the monetary system, and speculated that a lot of his years were also spent off in India learning practices such as yoga. So isn't there really a distinct possibility that the real purpose of mankind being here is to discover ourselves and discover what exists in our own heart, discover what it means to be human, and that everything about this system is designed to take that away from us? And even when we look for a way out of the system, we look for it externally. We look for the secret code or the secret book or the secret key or the secret doctrine or the secret plan, the secret blueprint that's going to lead us to freedom. But we always look externally. We don't look for what's in our hearts, what exists inside us. I mean, many people do to a certain degree, but even the people that look within their hearts and find this stuff within them and find this spark of understanding that they have, they still go out and they read books about self-improvement and they use all the tech that they're given around them. They don't see how easy it could really be to change this world if we were simply to apply ourselves to ourselves. You know, when you look at this concept, folks, the concept that we could change the world by simply stepping into our hearts and refusing to tolerate bad behavior, refusing to tolerate wrong behavior, and it makes sense why the world is getting so bad. It makes sense why there is so much war, why there is so much bloodshed, why it is getting more and more aggressive, more and more brutal, more and more televised. It's getting more and more in your face, and people are becoming number and number to it. It's almost like the universe, this reality itself, this construct that we are in, is screaming out to us to step into our hearts. It's just going to put this blood and this gore and this pedophilia and put it in your face as much as it can until you wake up to yourself and stop it. Because you could stop it. You could stop it happening today. We all could stop it happening today. All this pedophilia, all of this war, all of this destruction and mayhem that is a result of this economic system, we could stop it all today. We could stop the whole thing in one day if we stopped complying with it. But the only way we're going to do that is if we unite with the people around us, and the only way we're going to do that is if we open up our hearts. That's the thing. You know, I've been saying to people we could change the world in a day for years. Everyone goes, oh, gee, how could you do that? What master plan do you have? What's the blueprint? And they don't understand. If people simply opened up their hearts, the world has to change. It's really that simple. Everyone goes, oh, well, it's not going to happen because no one's going to do that. And what they're saying is that I'm not going to do that until I see other people doing it. That's what everybody says when they say no one's going to do that. You'll never get anyone to do that. They're saying you'll never get me to do it until I see other people doing it. But, you know, it's got to start somewhere, folks, so why can't it start with you? Why can't it start with all of us, you know? And if we all did it, the world would change really, really quickly. And it really would be that simple. You know, it's a heart-based reality, folks, and we're losing our heart. We're losing our empathy. All the stuff they do to us makes us lose our empathy. All the drugs they feed us, the Panadol. Paracetamol kills the empathy center in your brain, folks. Did you know that? When you're feeding baby Panadol to your baby, you're killing the empathy center in your baby. You're making sure your baby's not getting along with other kids and it's going to think about itself more than anybody else. That's what they do. That's the sort of stuff they feed us. We're under attack from so many angles, folks, in so many different directions. And all of it's designed to keep us squabbling amongst each other, to mess us up physically, mess us up emotionally, mess us up intellectually, mess us up psychologically. The whole system is designed to mess us up. And all we have to do is stop tolerating it. You know, why do we do this? When these politicians and these people come along and they do stuff and tell us we have to do things that we know are bad, why do we do it? Why do we keep doing it? We know all the plastic's poisoning us. Why do we do it? Why do we buy the food wrapped in plastic? Why do we allow them to sell us food wrapped in plastic? We should go to the supermarkets and unwrap your food right there on the counter and leave the plastic bag with the supermarket. Do that and they'll stop putting things in plastic bags. Wouldn't that be interesting if everyone did that? Anytime you go to the shop, if you buy a packet of anything, packet of biscuits, packet of this, packet of that, packet of sugar, packet of tea, packet of anything, it's always in a box and it's in a plastic wrapping around the box. You should take that plastic wrapping off and you should leave it on the shop counter and let them deal with it. And I'm sure they'll soon start talking to the companies and they'll start refusing goods that are wrapped in plastic. See, it will happen if we refuse the goods that are wrapped in plastic. Of course, because everything's wrapped in plastic, well, if you do that, you're not going to be able to eat anything. So, well, we can combat that by simply taking the plastic off in the store until they start taking measures to prevent that happening themselves. I don't know, just an idea that came to me then. But anyway, getting back on topic, it's almost like this universe is making things so in your face that we have to wake up to ourselves, folks. And I think things are going to get worse. You're going to see so much more war and so much more bloodshed. You're going to see so many more children killed on the beach until people realize that they can stop this happening themselves. You know, until people stop being numb to it, until people stop looking away, the universe is just going to put it more and more in your face until you acknowledge that all of this is happening with your consent. That's why it's happening. You may think, well, I don't consent to it, but you do, because it's your leaders, it's our leaders that are doing this, and no one's saying anything about it. People are still using the system. People are still complying with the rules of these criminals who are waging all of these wars all around the world. and we can withdraw support from them. Anytime we want to, we can withdraw support from them. And the women out there, it's time to call your brothers and your husbands home. Call your sons home. It's time for these men to stop going out there and playing with all these big boy toys. It's time for them to come home and support their families. You need to put your foot down, girls, and call these men home so they stop killing people. You know, all these men are needed in their own communities at home. Everybody is needed in their own communities. They really are. Because it's there that we can make a difference. You know, no one's coming to lead you to safety, folks. No one can do it but yourself. There is no big movement that can come along. There is no hero to lead the charge. And think about it, folks. Anybody attempting to lead the charge against this system, what are they going to do? What's the intention? What do you really think will happen? Like I said, even if we were to pull down every world leader that we've got now and replace them, what do you think the outcome would be? What do you think the world would be healed? You know, if Putin wins the war in Syria and becomes this all-pervasive good guy that everybody thinks he is, do you really think it's going to change anything? You know, Putin is part of the charade. It's all theatre. All of the politics is theatre. All of the countries are theatre. All of these wars are manufactured. There is no reason for anybody to be fighting anybody else. All of it is theatre, designed to distract us, to bring this control grid online underneath us. That's what's happening. You know, the 5G grid, folks, who is addressing this? You know, the whole weaponized airways, the whole autonomic system that is coming online. Who is addressing this? What world leader is going to make a difference to this? And if we pull the system down, like I said, have a revolution, have a military coup, pull them down, get the hero to march to Washington and pull down the president and put himself there, what difference is it going to make? It's not going to make any difference if we're still using the tech. It's not going to make any difference if we're still allowing ourselves to go digital, if we're still allowing Google to do all the stuff it's doing. All the things that are happening, folks. None of it is going to change because nobody is looking at the real issue. Everyone's looking in the wrong place for remedy. Everyone thinks they can just bring the government down and stand there and be sovereign, but they still expect that they can use their mobile phone and use their credit card and use all this digital stuff. Shift over to the digital currency and all of that sort of thing. Where's it all leading, folks? It's all leading to the same direction. People don't realize that this virtual world that we've got around us is the control grid itself. For all the wonderful things the internet has done for us, all the connectivity we've got out of the internet. I mean, I wouldn't do what I do if it wasn't for the internet. I wouldn't be able to travel. I wouldn't have met half the people that I've met around the world if it wasn't for the internet. But what's the dark side of it? What else is it doing for us? You know, it's being automated. And the internet itself is what is going to be controlling everything. It's going to be what's controlling the money system, the electrical supply, everything. And once that happens, and it's all cross-reference and it's all connected together, then there won't be one single thing that anybody can do that isn't monitored. There won't be one single thing you can purchase. There won't be one single place you can go that isn't monitored and isn't tracked. I mean, let's say you are someone who does a little bit of massaging on the side or whatever. Let's say you're someone who sells a few herbs at the markets or any of this sort of stuff. The only way you're ever going to be able to transfer a currency for that event is digitally, which means the government will get a tax on it. The government gets a handout. The government knows every single cent that you move. There'll be no money stashed offline, no money buried in yards, no money held in gold and silver that you can just go and cash in, because when you do go and cash it in, you won't be cashing it in. You'll be turning it into digital credits. And the government will get a tax on that. The government will get a tax on everything that it can use to continue waging its wars and making sure that you never get your head too far above the poverty line, because that's what it's about. That's how they control you. And we're allowing this to happen ourselves. And, you know, not only all that control of money, but the surveillance itself, the way that they can turn your phone on, turn your smart devices on, listen to every household, watch what's happening in every household, look through the walls of your house with the 5G grid, target you with the 5G grid, see what you're carrying down the street, and change the biological structure of all the plants in the area, all of the people in the area, do enormous damage to people as far as skin cancer and psychological problems and all the things that come from swimming in this electromagnetic soup that we're swimming in. All of this is a part of it as well, folks. And all of this is happening due to our tolerance of wrong behavior. And like I said, no one wants to hear the solution. Everyone wants someone to come along and march them to safety while they continue to use the tech. But the solution is to put down the tech, stop using your credit cards, and throw away your smartphones. If you're not prepared to do that, then you can follow all the screaming leaders that you want. You can follow all the people who want to stand up and shake their fist at the system and say they've got a way out all you like. And it's not going to lead you anywhere. In a couple of years, you're going to find yourself still going down the same path. You might be a little angrier. You might still be screaming at the system. There may be a new leader in there. We may have averted a war or whatever. But all of it won't matter because all of it is theatre. Because none of it is the new world order that we fear. The big war that's supposed to happen between East and West and all this sort of stuff, and suddenly it's all going to turn to rubble and we're all going to rise out of it enslaved in chains and all this sort of stuff. This isn't going to happen, folks. This is all theatre. What's going to happen is we're going to look up in 5 or 10 years and we're going to find ourselves in a digital prison with all of our thoughts monitored, and then we're going to realise what a puppet show we've been subject to and what theatre we've allowed to distract ourselves with. We're going to realise just what is really going on and how there are no world leaders that are on your side, folks. There are no good guys. Everybody out there is playing a role. And they're all doing it very well, and they're tricking the people into believing that there is actually this big global conflict happening. But it's not about that. It's about locking the people down, and they're doing it through little trinkets and toys that they're giving us for our own convenience. These conveniences are the slavery system itself. And look at us, we're lining up for the grand opening and sleeping overnight on the pavements and running in to be the first one to purchase the new part of the control grid. When the new iPhone comes out or the new iPad or the new whatever comes out, people literally fall over themselves to be the first on their block to have this new part of government surveillance tech as part of their lives. It's really amazing. You know, as I've often said, we tend to anthropomorphize everything. We anthropomorphize God and the devil. We anthropomorphize just about everything, and we do the same thing with the control grid. We anthropomorphize it. We think it's a group of evil men sitting around a table who have evil plans. We don't really realize what the control grid is, and we don't really realize what the system that's been put in place is going to do. And as I said before, you know, even if you're one of the people who sits at the top of the control grid and you run the monetary system and everything, all this sort of stuff, it doesn't matter. Once the system comes online and becomes fully autonomic, then we're all part of the same equation, according to the system. And this is set to happen, folks. There's a paper that came out recently by the White House called Federal Studies into Future Computing and the Nanotechnology Grand Challenge. And this paper is a federal paper, as I said, and it outlines a plan to hand control of the entire system over to AI. And it's a 15-year plan. It was put forth, I think, last year, or maybe the year before, 2015 or 2016. And it's already well underway. In fact, it is ahead of schedule. They did have a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, and a 15-year plan. I think they are actually about year 8 already, and they're only 1 or 2 years into the plan. So they are intending to do this. They are intending to automate the entire system. And you can tell that they want to do this, folks, just by the speed that they are rolling out this 5G grid. They're doing all sorts of blanket advertising and everything, telling people you need to allow these 5G towers to be put around your neighborhood because it's going to bring you lightning fast downloads and broadband everywhere. We're going to have the best connectivity in the world, and it's going to bring in billions of dollars of business for companies from our country. That's the carrot. That's how they're doing it. They're saying it's all going to generate money. It's all going to generate income. It's going to be great for the economy. But what about the people? What is underlying the whole thing? Because this 5G system is the control grid, folks. And like I keep saying, it's not only a control grid, but it's also weaponized. It also has the potential to do very, very bad things to humanity and to our society and to life in general. You know, we've got so much electromagnetic pollution that we're swimming in now, and they're going to up it to millimeter waves, and things are just going to get worse and worse from this point. But more important than all this, folks, is the future that we are allowing to be created for the kids. And as I said earlier, when these kids come out of school, this new generation that's just beginning school now, when they come out of school, they're not going to have any reference point. They're not going to have any idea what it's like to be free, what it's like to be a real human. You know, a lot of parents don't really participate in the education system too much. They don't really know what their kids are being taught at school. They just assume that it's the same as what they were taught. You know, they look at the lessons and they think, oh, yeah, I learned that. I learned about maths. I learned about this. I learned about social studies. But there's all this other stuff underlying them that the parents really are unaware of. And the kids are being programmed in the most brutal way. They're being programmed psychologically. They're being sexually activated very, very early at primary school. Now, they're being taught about anal sex in primary school, folks. Taught how to do it right before they even have any idea what their real sexuality is. You've got schools that are suggesting that 5- and 6-year-olds come to school one day a week dressed like the opposite sex so they know what it's like to be a little girl or a little boy. It's ridiculous, folks, the stuff that they're doing to the children, the programming that these kids are undergoing. And it's going to affect their future in a very, very negative way, and so is this digital system that they're being brought into. You know, they're not even going to be thinking about it. They're just taking the tech on board as a matter of life, just a fact of life, a matter of the way things are. And they're doing it because we're really not paying attention, and we have to pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. We really do, because the future that we are allowing to be created is not going to be a future we want to live in, and we have the ability to change it right now. We can take simple steps to start with, and the easiest steps you can take is to put down your credit card and to put down your smartphone and to not buy any smart equipment at all. Do not buy smart refrigerators. Do not buy smart televisions. Don't buy smart anything, folks, because it's not smart for you. It's smart for the system. I know I've said that a lot of times in this show, but that is really the only way to stop this system or to at least slow it down, is to stop complying with it. And you can do it simply by going back to cash and going back to non-smart appliances. The question is, are you prepared to do that? Is anybody out there prepared to put down their smartphone, their scrying mirror? Is anybody prepared to go back to using cash and stop using their credit card? Because if you're not prepared to do that, well, don't complain about the system and don't think that anybody else can come along and lead you to safety. You can throw money at all the movements that you like, at all the people that you like. You can rally behind all the leaders that come to lead you, but they're not going to lead you anywhere if you're going to refuse to participate on the ground yourself. And all you have to do is stop using their tech, and you won't need a leader to pretend that he can lead you to safety. You'll be able to do it yourself, but it's going to come down to your participation. And it's like that with everybody. You know, there is no other way out, folks. You know, the smart system is the new world order. If people can't see that, well, they're just looking in the wrong direction. But no one can lead you out of this politically. No one can lead you out of this with a revolution or any type of physical action, any type of pulling down the system or voting people in or voting people out or starting any type of movement. You've got to put down the tech yourself, and you've got to reclaim your humanity. If you're not prepared to do that, well, no one else can do it for you. But I think we're getting very close to the end of the show here, folks. And I'm sorry if this week's show was a little bit confrontational for some people, and I'm sure that it may have been, but well, that's just the way it is, folks. If we don't acknowledge the problem to begin with, then we don't have any opportunity to heal the problem. But that's no reason to lose hope, and that's no reason to think that we don't still have a way out of this mess. Thank you for joining me on the air today, and don't think that all is lost. Even though this system is coming out and rolling itself out in leaps and bounds, we still can't get through it, but it's going to take your participation. So please consider the words that I've said today and realize that you can make a difference. All you have to do is choose to stand up for yourself and get involved yourself and look at what the real solutions are and implement them. Just implement them, folks, and all you have to do to implement them is, like I keep saying, stop using the tech. But that's it for me, folks. I'm completely out of time. Thank you to everybody who supports the show. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the Patreon account. Thank you to all those subscribers to the channel. Thank you to anybody who sends me kind emails and all the stuff you do for me and all the wonderful support that you give me. I couldn't do any of this if it wasn't for you. But I am completely out of time now, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week, folks. Please take very good care until then. In La Cache.